Hey, I bet if we played Do You Know Your Coworkers, Jeremy would lose every time.
No.
Ravens have a lot of penalty.
This guy who doesn't know any coworkers' names.
Ravens lead in a lot of penalty-related categories, man. Ed, is that the most frustrating part of this 1-2 start, all the penalties?
Yes. I mean, I think it's a big part of it, especially the dumb ones. And I'll take aggressive penalties. Now, I'll take an occasional late hit or, you know, a questionable roughing the quarterback. When you have formation penalties or false starts or delay of game, those drive me out of my mind because those are fixable, man. And just too many of them.
Mine would be fourth quarters. I just don't get it. I don't understand what happens in these fourth quarters. And again, it can probably be attributed some to penalties, especially Derrick Henry's false start in week two. But, you know, you had other situations, too, where you'd look at it going, and it goes back throughout history. Why does this keep happening? How have you guys not made some sort of adjustment to this?
That's my biggest problem. It's the lack of adjustments. And that's where it falls on coaching. Like, you know, dude, come on. I mean, at some point, you got to bring these guys in and say, listen, man, stop complaining about the penalties. They're calling it on you all the time. And that's why I don't like Harbaugh complaining about the penalties publicly, because you're giving the players an excuse. If they keep, Jeremy, if your crossover move with this ref is now a double dribble carrying all the time, you stop doing the move when this ref is here. Maybe the next game you're fine, but you don't keep doing it and say, hey, man, you keep calling that. Keyword is keep. So if I'm calling it all the time. Last night, the strike zone, the Orioles could not get the high strike. And I'm sitting there thinking, Kramer, why do you keep throwing this pitch? He hadn't called it a strike yet. So if he's consistent, whether you believe it's a strike or not is irrelevant. If he's consistent, he's consistent.
And you have to play accordingly.
We get called for the same stuff all the time, man.
What's really stupid is they do rate the officiating crews, and the teams know what the proclivities are. Well, he calls this. He doesn't call that. And they know this. They're told because, you know, there's things you shouldn't do, and this is their pet peeve. They're going to do this, so I don't know.
You can do it, but if they keep calling it, don't be surprised.
Yes.
You can do it again and think, well, maybe this time he won't catch me. All right, he caught you again. So don't get upset because he caught you again.
By the way, after week one, how many of these neutral zone infractions, lining up offsides, whatever, how many of those you seen called?
None. You know why, don't you?
Well, yeah, because it was a knee-jerk reaction. It's like, man, you guys did way too much. People are talking about this. You got to stop.
The league says, chill out.
Because I watched on Monday night, one of the linemen for Jacksonville was like, I mean, he looked like he was in the damn backfield. And I'm going, how is that not being called right now, if that's the rule?
Sour grapes, the Chiefs do it all the time.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the main reasons why we have this rule is because of their right tackle.
And I mean, I know as a coach, every year you go into the meeting with officials and they tell you the points of emphasis for this year. Every league has that, points of emphasis. And I always laugh because I think, I always say in our league, after Christmas, those points of emphasis will go away because people get tired of blowing the whistle. NFL referees get tired of throwing the flags as well. But the Ravens will get, you admitted, Ed, there were, what, three bad calls Sunday?
Yeah.
Maybe four? Mm-hmm. So that means you still have 9 or 10 penalties.
Yeah.
Still too many.
It's too many. Absolutely.
And again, like, nobody's sitting here telling you that all these penalties, like, they're all against the Ravens and that the Ravens didn't do anything wrong. But, I mean, going back to opening night against the Chiefs, there's been this big thing with the Chiefs. It was a pass interference in the Cincinnati game, which people were upset about. The next week, it should have been a pass interference in the end zone. And now people are going, hey, more of the conspiracy theory. Derwin James just got suspended right before he's supposed to, surprise, play the Chiefs. For being aggressive on defense and these unnecessary roughness penalties he's got, we were going to have this great matchup because I don't think Derwin James and Rashee Rice like each other. Now we don't get to see that this weekend.
410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. What's the origin of their life?
Yeah. I think it goes back to last year. Let me see if I can find out what this is. But those guys, like, even so, if you've watched Derwin James this year, when they, you know, he's the guy that lifted up Travis Kelce. That was last year at the goal line.
Yes.
Just slammed him.
Yes.
You've seen him flying all over the place. He got a couple.
He's reckless.
Yeah.
In a I would love for him to play for me recklessly, right. though. this is not me speaking badly on Derwin James. He's reckless. I'd love to have him.
Yeah. One of my favorite players.
Yes, I'd love to have him. You know what? I think the NFL is genius with the whole having you play the team that lines up with your finish. Like the first place schedule, the second place schedule. That's how rivalries outside of your division are created. You have two teams that are constantly winning their division, Jeremy. They play every year against one another in the first place schedule. That's why the Colts Patriots mm-hmm. had the rivalry because they kept winning their division, so they're playing every year. You know, the Ravens Chiefs. You know, you keep winning your division, you'll keep playing these teams every year. And the NFL is genius in that because it's matching two of the best teams in the AFC, two of the best teams in the NFC, matching them together is must-see TV.
So there isn't a beef between Derwin James and Rashee Rice. This is Chargers fans saying, so this cat gets to get into a car accident, leave the scene of the crime, all the stuff that went on with him, and he's not suspended, but Derwin James tackled guys too hard in week one and week two, and you're going to suspend him for a game. I'm not saying that the two coincide, but like I get it from Chargers fans going,
I do.
Well, how the hell is that cat playing?
Yeah. Hey Joe, the Ravens heavily penalized this year, but where do they rank like in the NFL?
So since 2008, the Ravens are the sixth most penalized team in football.
So this isn't new.
This is not. They have 1,728 penalties for 14,775 yards.
You said since 2008.
Since 2008. So since Harbaugh got there.
Like, they're the sixth most penalized team in football.
That's not fair. You got to take out that Detroit Lions game on Monday Night Football where they had 117 penalties.
Jeremy, you had mentioned this, though, after the Raiders game, that you felt like the Raiders were one of the more consistently penalized teams. Mm-hmm. They are 24th since 2008.
See, that's an old reputation. They're not that Raiders team.
Well, that's always been the... Well, okay, if I have that wrong. There was a Raiders fan that sent me a message saying that, but they have been... historically one of the most, that's the whole thing with the Ravens.
Growing up, they were.
Yeah, and then the Falcons are the least penalized teams. Falcons, Colts, Rams, Bengals, Vikings are the bottom five.
That's because nobody watches the Falcons games. Even the referees.
That's the top comments on that.
Hard to believe.
Even the referees. Nobody watches those games.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
410-583-1057 is the number. The wrestler's tired from watching Georgia the night before. Commissioners Baltimore at 7:30. Birds clinched the playoff berth at 7:45, but on the other side had the shine worn off of Joe Burrow. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
I'm tired of all the excuses for Joe Burrow. All the defense let Joe Burrow. No, Joe Burrow let Joe Burrow down. Joe Burrow let the offense down. Joe Burrow let the team down. Great stats. Great stat line. Oh, it's amazing. He's had all of these touchdowns. No interceptions. But what did you do when the game was in the balance? What did you do when the game was on the line? You know the answer is? It's not enough. You know how I know it's not enough? It's because your team doesn't have a win, and you're going into week four.
Let me just say this. That was Chris Canty from ESPN's Unsportsmanlike yesterday. I'm sorry that he's on in the morning because I don't get the chance to hear him. You know why? I love Chris Canty,
too.
I absolutely love Chris Canty. You know why? Because Chris Canty doesn't talk like I'm a former NFL player who has friends in the league. He tells it like it is. When he defends you, you can tell he believes it. When he goes after you, you can tell he believes it. This is not a guy that's going for shock radio, Ed. No. This is a guy who's saying what he believes. And I'm with him. Joe Burrow is becoming Mr. Stat Guy.
I don't know what's up with Joe Burrow. I just think he's a really talented guy. But like I said, they're 0-3. I mean, I don't know what else to say about that. They're 0-3. What?
Something's happening. I've been screaming about this for a while.
Like, what?
Why does Joe Burrow get a pass over all these other guys?
You have.
When all he's done, he went to one Super Bowl.
You have.
He had one run. And again, we've seen, and I think Joe Burrow is a really, really good quarterback.
I think he's super talented.
But again, why doesn't he get the criticism that some of these other guys have? I just don't understand it. Because to my knowledge, he still hasn't won an MVP. To my knowledge, he still hasn't won a Super Bowl. But people are like, man, Joe Burrow. Like, they'll put their top five list together, and Joe Burrow is on that list every single time.
I don't know if you know this stat, because I didn't. Joe just said this in my ear. I mean, like, from afar in my ear, guys.
I saw him whisper to you.
I saw him roll over.
He's 1-11. In the month of September for his career.
Yeah.
One in 11. One, exactly. 1-11.
Wow.
And the funniest thing ever has a chance to happen this weekend. Andy Dalton to go back in there and put the nail in that
kibosh.
Good night, Cincinnati.
Oh my! And you know, we live in Baltimore. There are going to be people in there who are pulling for Andy Dalton to win that game.
You guys are going to have to stop calling it the jungle and call it the woods.
No, I mean Cincinnati people.
Oh, yeah.
There are going to be some Cincinnati people who will be pulling for him.
Those are the woods. It's not the jungle anymore. Nobody's scared to go in there. Get the hell out of here. Hooday. Everybody's beating your ass.
See, you may run into Little Red Riding Hood.
Yeah. Ain't nobody scared. Come on, man. I said this at the beginning of the year, which I found it interesting that nobody was talking about. Cincinnati's defense was not good last year.
No, they're terrible.
They didn't do anything really to improve that defense. Yeah, I mean, they made some small signings, Geno Stone and some other, but like, again, nothing that's going to put you over the top. And then they lost pieces on offense, too. So, I don't know. I don't think they're that good.
Yeah. I love what he said, though. I mean, he puts up great stats. He does. He puts up tremendous stats.
He played great on Monday night, except in the last drive when they needed him, right?
By the way, that game, I thought that game was in Carolina.
You might be right. I'm just saying, he gets Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Andy Dalton gets to play in front of his home crowd now, and everybody's got to be hyped. Big win against the Raiders.
Come on. They could say it doesn't matter. It matters a lot. You go back to a place that crapped on you.
You play on a team that let you walk.
Yeah.
Well, he said they're playing in Carolina, right?
They're playing in Carolina, yeah.
But still, like, to get that chance to play against. I always like when people ask players, like, hey, what does this mean? It's just another game. BS.
Right.
We've all played sports. We all marked. Oh, who am I playing against? Oh, yeah, this MF are going to get it today. That's, you know. We've all had those moments. There are teams or players that you like to play against just because you didn't like them.
I've never coached a game against a team, one of my former teams.
Really?
Never. Because when I went from,
if you're scared,
I went from JUCO to the NCAA, so you weren't playing there.
Right.
Then I went from back to JUCO, then to high school, so you were. So my only opportunity would be like
high
now.
School.
Yeah. Now would be an opportunity, but I've never done it.
Is now with Rosedale success, do you think you guys might pay Mount Carmel to come play at your place?
They're successful too.
Okay. I just didn't know, man.
I didn't lead a cover bear.
No, I'm saying
I didn't take anybody.
I've seen this happen in like college football where we just talked about who was it? North Carolina paid James Madison to come play him at North Carolina and beat their ass.
Oh, that's messed up.
It what?
What you're implying is really, really messed up.
I think he's implying. I think he's saying
what you're implying is really, really messed up. That's it. When you painted the picture, then that's really messed up.
I love you, Rob.
They are IAAM A conference team.
Yeah.
No one's paying them to come. They are the show.
Look, we talk off the air. I pick some things out that you say, and then, you know, I run with it.
Let's go to Ellicott City and get Kevin. What's up, Kevin?
Morning, fellas. How you doing?
Norma, how are you?
Doing pretty good, man. Thank you. I'm gonna try to find the best way to say it so it fits the radio, of course, too. I won't cuss or nothing, though. But first of all, Joe Burrow's out there dressing like Ellen DeGeneres, which looks terrible. And I told Joe, and maybe you can help me with this a little bit, I just think the NFL, if you were to compare them to Lamar and Joe, the NFL expects more from Lamar, right? Like, I think they look for more out of Lamar. I think they knew Joe Burrow would be good, but Lamar is the guy that really lights the NFL on fire. Joe Burrow doesn't, and it's obvious now, and I think they have big problems in Cincinnati.
Hey, thanks a lot, Kevin. I agree with what Chris Canty said, but I still think Joe Burrow is that dude.
I think he's really good.
I think he's that dude. I think, you know, it's not happening right now. He stays hurt and things like that. But I still think he's a franchise quarterback who you could build around.
100%. And the only thing, like, going back to what I said about it, nobody's questioning his talent. It's questioning the people that sit here and put him up in the upper echelon without dinging him for the failures that he's had.
I agree with that. I do. Barbershop topic of the day that stirs the pot that many of you on Twitter, and I'll suggest it maybe do out this season. See, we give both sides of the story, not just outsides. But on the other side, it's Commissioner Baltimore. What you got, Edward?
Well, hurricane season's upon us again.
Yes.
And I'm worried because one's headed right for my house and my wife. It's like
my wife.
My house. My wife. Anyway, that is going on. But I got to tell a story about, you know, when people give you instructions or ask you to do something, please listen to them. I'm talking about the police and emergency workers, because I have a horrible story about a hurricane in New York City that I happen to be working.
Commissioners, you
enjoy
Baltimore,
this at 7:30.
Up next on The Fan. 7:30 a.m. It's time. You hear that grunt? It's time for Commissioners Baltimore. What's up, Eddie?
Well, if you're following the weather, you know, like the what commercial is that? You become your parents.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody's interested in the Weather Channel now. I find it funny because that's what happens.
Talking to everyone.
Yeah. Helene is now a tropical storm. It's going to be a major hurricane, though, when it hits land, apparently. All those spaghetti models. And I've been talking to Justin Chambers from Fox 45 just to get real updates from someone who's not going to hype it up. He said, yeah, the prediction is going to be really bad. I said, I'm on the right side of this, so I'm going to get a lot of water, aren't I? Because, yeah, that's what happens. I was like, great. But that's the danger, you know, in the present. And this is a bad one. But people don't, I don't know why. People just think it's funny to challenge these things. And it's not. You know, you still see people blowing through standing water, going out there when the storm surge is coming, and like you want to be washed away like you can. Like I just don't know what people are. You know, nature's terrifying when it gets like this. When it gets angry, oh man!
I think it was said best once. Damn nature, you scary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who said that?
I think it was on Family Guy.
Well, it's looking. It's heading to the Gulf Coast of Florida at the turn, they call it, when you get up from like you know the Gulf Coast up to the Destin area and all that. It's going to land there, and it's looking to be a terrible, terrible storm. But I remember when I was a young police sergeant in New York City. Somebody's got to be out there policing stuff still in the middle of a hurricane. So I was out in the, you know, patrol car, and it was something to watch, man, being out there in the middle of those winds and stuff like that. Nobody on the streets, obviously. And you see how big traffic lights are when they actually hit the ground.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness, they're big.
I never even thought you're saying that now. I'm thinking about it because you never see them up close.
No, like they're huge. Yeah, they're huge. And I tell you, they withstand a lot. They're very hard to get them off their perch there. But what happened was, and this is why I say, please listen to people. Like, you know, we were listening. We obviously, the emergency incident center gives you instruction. You go to them for what to do next. And they tell you, you know, they'll put out notices or announcements about what to do. And if you're going to evacuate, you're going to keep people indoors, shelter in place, and all that stuff. Hurricane Gloria was like, that's way before Sandy hit and all. Sandy was horrible. But Gloria was not great either. 8 people died in Gloria. But after the storm had passed and now the sun comes out and people think it's fine. It's not. You got to wait until people tell you it's okay. Because this is one of the worst, most arbitrary things I've ever seen. It was so awful. Not for itself. Well, it kind of was. But just listen. What happened is the storm has passed. Now, Gloria has passed. Now the sun's up. It's the daytime. You know, we've weathered the entire night. And it happened like right now. I think it was September 27th. I looked it up. That's how I know. I remember it was September 27th.
You know.
I looked it up. It was September 27th. So it's right now. September 25th is today. So it's this time of year. So it's the hurricanes are bad. So people are told to stay in shelter in place, stay indoors, don't come out yet. But, of course, nobody can resist. They've got to walk around now. The sun's out and check out a rainbow, whatever you're looking for. Want to guess what happened? Anybody? In the audience? No?
What happened?
Well, this couple leaves their apartment. They're holding hands, walking down. It was like 10th Street in Greenwich Village. And you know, they're walking hand in hand.
That's romantic.
Yeah, it was for a minute. And they're just strolling down on what they think is a nice day. But the winds are still kicking up because it's not over. It's just not over yet. And you know how in New York City people will put out planters on their fire escapes and windowsills and stuff? Well, someone didn't take theirs in. One of those terracotta potted plants got blown right like it was like a ping pong ball, taken right off a windowsill, came down, landed on the male's head who was hand in hand with his girlfriend, and took the back of his head off.
Yikes.
Think about that for a second as I say this. Let me repeat that. They're a couple. They're walking hand in hand like everybody does, or most people do when you're a couple. You walk hand in hand.
You're talking like a clay pot, basically.
Yes, yeah, a clay pot. Yeah. Full clay pot with, you know, dirt in it and potting soil and a plant. Yeah. Blew off, came down at whatever speed it came down, hit him right in the back of his head, right about there, and just crushed it. DOA, right? You know, I'm like, and I think about holding the man's hand, your girlfriend is whatever, holding your hand. And I'm not blaming the victim or making fun of such a terrible tragedy, but I had to respond to it, and it was just, it was awful for so many reasons. It was so unnecessary. Like,
what about the, I mean, so you have stuff like
that. I would have been all right.
Yeah, because well,
why, pray tell?
The back of,
ain't nothing penetrating that in.
I didn't even wear a helmet when I played football.
He just painted a decal on the side of his head.
I wore one to protect others.
Yeah. Wouldn't Northern have a Viking logo or whatever, like, or just an N or something?
No, we had the
horns like the Vikings do? Yeah. Yeah. That's what he did.
My first year we had an N, and then we had the horns after that.
No, but what about the people that go out and play in this water and do stupid stuff? Like, you're talking about all the different things that can happen after the fact, and while it's still going on. But I don't know what it is about people that are so naive when it comes out to go out and get in this water or even to try
know.
To... Like, oh, I jog every day. It's not a big deal. I'll just go out for a quick run. Okay. See what happens.
Yeah, that's what happens.
Do you have a picture of this couple?
No.
You just want to know. Hold on.
Why?
What color were they?
It'd take a wild guess.
That's what he's getting at.
Well, he's right.
Yeah, I know he's right. God bless it. What are you doing, white people? The weather outside is frightful, and you guys are going out for a stroll.
This is, I got this. I've never said this on the air before, I think, but he's right. And I tell you what, even white cops don't like white people.
What are you doing?
I had a guy. This is just a quick aside as we wrap this up. Guy is giving me the hardest time. And it was like, you saw the Tyreek Hill video?
Mm-hmm.
Worse than that. Just obnoxious, verbally abusive, wouldn't open his door. Finally, I told him straight up, which is now as a crowd, I said, you know, let me tell you this. And I'm trying to whisper to him. I go, you're white. If I kick the living out of you right now, nobody cares. I swear to you, I said this to this guy. All of a sudden, he had this moment of recognition. I'm like, huh?
Yeah. It's like, might want to button it up there, Chief.
No one cares.
Reverse privilege. Ryan Rifkin joins us at 8:30. Thanks a lot, Kamish. But on the other side, the Birds are headed to the postseason again. Orioles baseball up next on The Fan.
Well, I just think you can't underestimate how difficult it is to get to the playoffs. And you should enjoy it. You should appreciate it when you have the honor to represent Baltimore in the playoffs. And it's a great group of guys. And they're going to be good for years to come. So we're really proud of them.
That's Brandon Hyde throwing the Orioles postseason celebration. They clinched last night with a win, followed by a Twins loss to the Miami Marlins. By the way. 2 of 3 outs recorded in the ninth, bottom of the ninth inning for the Marlins. The out number one was a fly out to Stowers. Out number two was a pop up to Norby.
Yeah.
Way to go, guys. And as Joe pointed out, you know who pitched for the Twins in that game?
Yesterday?
Yeah.
Came in
relief.
Oh, in relief? No, I don't.
Cole Irvin.
Oh, yeah. That should have been the obvious one sitting here. I'm trying to think about what Orioles went there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cole Irvin. So. Three former Orioles, part of that clinching win for the Miami Marlins. What are the Orioles' chances now? Clean slate, not really, 5 games left, but what are their chances now, in your opinion, going into the postseason?
Really good. I mean, I feel, once you're in the postseason, it's like you say, clean slate, everything's wiped clean. I just think they have as good a chance as anybody else. I'm not afraid of anybody. They can beat the Yankees, who are the best team in the American League. They have nothing to fear. And they got back a lot of their key players. So, I mean, I think when I saw those guys back in the lineup, I'm like, this is good. This is really good. And you see this guy, like Mountcastle, comes off the bench after being out for a while, gets a hit right away like he never left. So, I think they're going to be pretty exciting postseason.
Jeremy?
Well, I mean, look, this whole thing that everybody gets caught up in, it's like, oh my God, they're not going to beat anybody. There's so many people that just want to be negative for the sake of being negative. And I'd like for people to go look at their social media feeds. If you're writing something negative in every single post, you're a problem. Yeah. There's something wrong with you. Yeah. The fact of the matter is, like, once it starts, like, there's nobody in the American League that scares you. And by the way, there's nobody in the National League that scares you right now. Like, mm-hmm. I think the Padres are playing some great baseball. Arizona has the best
Phillies
offense.
Phillies are real good.
Phillies are really good, but they just had their hiccup, too, and it's not like they're mm-hmm. upper echelon. Aaron Nola hasn't looked like Aaron Nola. And Christopher Sanchez and Ranger Suarez haven't looked like the two mm-hmm. guys we saw in the beginning of the year. Not that they've been bad, but they were dominant.
Ranger Suarez was really good earlier.
I mean, they had three guys in mm-hmm. the top 10 of Cy Young voting midway through the season. So did the Braves, by the way, and look at how that's worked out. But all that being said is, like, who you brought it up earlier, like, who do you fear in the postseason? And honestly, nobody. There's nobody that jumps out to say, oh my God, I don't want to play that team. Because if you start looking at track records of what teams have done going into the postseason here recently, outside of the Tigers, who's playing great baseball?
Well, Jeremy, that's been my position the entire time the Orioles been slotting. Two things. Number one, what Ed said, you know, the Orioles don't have a lot of players right now to play with. Number two, nobody out there scares me. No one. So, let the postseason begin.
I honestly think if the Orioles lose, that they beat themselves. That's what I feel, especially in the first series that they're going to face, no matter who that ends up being. Because they're better than Cleveland. They're better than Minnesota. They're better than Detroit, in my opinion. And again, no matter what happens, they're going to have a winning record against the Yankees this year.
Well, as it stands right now, it looks like they won't face Cleveland. They have to be the third wild card team for that. Actually, no. You mean in a wild card round?
Yeah.
Cleveland first round bye.
Mm-hmm. Cleveland will have a bye. I'm just saying, anybody catch Cleveland in the Central?
No, they clinch.
They clinch.
They're 7.5 up.
Somebody asked me about like magic numbers yesterday, and I was like, man, I don't look at that stuff. I wait for somebody to tell me they got to do this and this.
Well, magic number basically, give you an example. Let's say the Orioles' magic number was 4. If they win one and the team that they're tracking loses one, now it drops down to 2.
Yeah. I mean, I understand how it works. I just don't pay attention to it until somebody tells me, you know, what's going on. Like, oh, they have to do this, this, and this. And then there was some confusion on that. But, like, you know, realistically, when you start looking at the playoffs, I mean, Kansas City's 3-7 their last 10. Minnesota's 3-7 their last 10. Detroit's 8-2. Orioles 4-6. Houston 6-4. And then you got Cleveland and New York. And the reason New York pulled in front of the Orioles is because they went 7-3 in their last 10. But again, that's the A's. I don't want to knock who you play on your schedule, but I'm not ultimately impressed with New York. I think we match up with them incredibly well.
You know, it's funny you say that about the magic numbers thing, because I never did either until I started doing TV when you had to.
Mm-hmm.
Because you talk about it all the time.
Have you seen this face? I ain't doing TV anytime soon, so I ain't got to worry about it.
Let's go to Antonio in Rosedale. What's up, Antonio?
Good morning.
Good morning, man. How are you?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Congratulations to the Orioles on a great win and for going back to the playoffs. Would the Orioles prefer to play the Orioles or the Tigers in the wild card? And you guys have a wonderful day.
You have a wonderful day as well. I think they would tell you it doesn't matter. I think I would tell you the Royals.
That's who
I'd rather play. If I had to choose. I mean, I realistically, I don't care. But for the sake of the exercise, okay, if I pretended that I care, it would be the Royals.
I'd want to face the Twins.
No, he said he didn't give us the Twins. He said the Tigers or the Royals.
Well, I'm saying the Twins still have a shot to get in.
But Antonio didn't ask us that question, though. Answer the question.
The Twins. Antonio, it's the Twins. That's who you want to face. All right-handed pitching.
If he gave me the option of the three, mm-hmm. I would have chose the Twins.
I already picked them. Pick another
but
team.
But he didn't give me the option.
I would have picked the White Sox. But
there you go.
I would have said wild card bye. Yeah, that's a wild card bye.
The White Sox are cutting payroll.
Oh, you see what the Pirates did?
Yes, I'm the one that sent it to the group chat.
How about you?
That was awful.
Plate appearances short of a $200,000 bonus for Rowdy Tellez.
So Rowdy Tellez, that they had him, again, as Rob pointed out, 4 at-bats. He gets a 200.
4 plate appearances.
Yeah, plate appearances, excuse me.
Yeah.
He gets a $200,000 bonus. He's played for them all year. He has a decent WRC+. There's no reason to send him down for whatever, except to save $200K. And there are a bunch of players on social media said, we remember this stuff. We watched that. And when the Pirates are competing with another team, I'm not signing there. And again, it's the Pirates. Who knows if they're actually going to go spend money? But now they have some solid pitching.
See, I think that's what the Pirates GM, the Pirates ownership sitting back reading those tweets thinking, you think we got to compete for you?
Right, yeah.
We're never going to be in that situation where we're competing for you.
Anybody that plays for us gets drafted by us.
Or nobody else wants. Downside of their career. Mm. Yeah, that is some...
That's scummy, man.
That's crappy. That's not even shady. That's crappy. Ryan Ripken joins us at 8:30. World of Stupid at 8:45. But on the other side, many of you chimed on social media about Brandon Hyde and his job status. Well, there's a national media outlet that suggests that the Orioles need to do something significant in the playoffs, or maybe you'll be right. Barbershop topic of the day up next on The Fan.